check out the plus.
We're good to go, right? Are we on?
Oh, yeah, you can do it. Actually, sorry. Really feeling good. Mark? If he's live?
He's there. I can barely hear though. Brother Omar, are you there?
Yes, I am. All's good. Just check that sound like I'm up. All's good.
Turn up your volume.
Okay, I can hear him, but it's like 100%. I don't know why. Sometimes that happens.
I can hear everything from my side.
Happens sometimes. I don't know why. I can hear him, but I mean, he's said something.
Okay. Just ask him to type it in the chat.
Okay, I think he said okay to go. That's what I heard.
Okay, cool.
All right. All right, inshallah, we'll begin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma yanfa'una bima 'allamtana wa 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa zidna ilman ya karim ya rabbil alamin. Allahumma nas'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan wasi'a wa shifaa li kulli da'in amin ya rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah bless all of you for attending. Alhamdulillah, we have another session here on the day of resurrection, and we're going into basically the day of judgment, actually how the judgment is actually taking place. And so last week we talked about how the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we talked about how that will take place, that he would be asked to start the day of judgment, and also he has an intercession for those who are in Jahannam of believers to be taken out of Jahannam that had any ounce of faith in their heart, or they believed in La ilaha illallah, did not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So went over that last week. So this week we're going to go over what we call the reckoning or hisab, where you go over your deeds. And the deeds are basically presented, and the different type of reckonings people would have. And then we'll get into the scale or the mizan, where there'll be a physical scale that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And we will basically talk a little bit about that. And I won't have the slides on that, but what I'll do, I'll take down the PowerPoint and I'll just read off my notes here. I wasn't able to finish the rest of the PowerPoint earlier this morning. So anyhow, we'll keep on going. So one of the first things that, the first thing that people will be asked about on Yawmul Qiyamah, the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask an individual will be their salah. And of course, the first group of people that would be that will be coming to account would be the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it makes sense that salah will be the first thing that people will be asked. And so obviously we know the importance of salah in our deen and how important that is. It's pretty much the backbone and the scholars, backbone of the religion. And the scholars have said that if somebody who leaves salah, they're pretty much on the borderline of not being a Muslim. And some scholars even said that those who don't even pray, that you won't be considered being a Muslim. That's not the majority of the opinion, though. But, you know, they just take, the point of the reason I bring that up, they show the importance of the salah itself, right? It's really the defining point of who a Muslim is. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith here in Tirmidhi and other places, where he said the first of the deeds which a person will be brought to account on the day of resurrection will be his salah. If it is good, then he will succeed and prosper. And if it's bad, then he will be a loser and doomed. If anything is lacking from his obligatory prayers, the Fajr prayers, the 5 daily prayers, the Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will say, look, will tell the angels, look and see whether my slave, my servant, has any voluntary prayers. So the sunnah prayers, what we'll call the nawafil prayers, the ones you do after Maghrib, you know, tahajjud, taraweeh, etc., and use that to make up whatever is missing from his obligatory prayers. Then all his deeds will be reviewed in a like manner. So there's a lot of things that we could take from this hadith here. Number one is that, here, let's look at the wording here where it says, if his salah is good, his fard prayers is good, then he will succeed and prosper. The way the Prophet is saying is like from the first thing, if that is good, then everything after that will probably be, he'll prosper, he will be good. And so the question I will say is why will this be set the tone for the rest of the person's reckoning? A little bit bad wording there. So why would the Salat, if it's good, the Prophet was saying the rest of his reckoning and the rest of his accountability would be also good. Why is that such a, why is that the factor for it? But obviously he could have missed his fast. He could have, you know, treated people bad. He could have done other things, if you will. Why did the Prophet say that if his Salah is good, then the rest of his reckoning, he'll prosper and he'll succeed?
What is the backbone of our ibadah?
Right. So, but how does that play into the other deeds, though? That's the question I'm trying to get at there. Okay, saying if the Salah is good, then the rest of it will be good. We still have so much more to go over account, right? How he treated his parents, how he treated his spouse, how he treated his children, how he treated others in the community, his fasting, Hajj, Zakat. You know, you think about it, right? There's X amount of things that someone could talk about or go over. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say that if his Salah is good, then everything else after that will be pretty much good, or he'll prosper, if you will? Who else is in the room there? So we only have two other people here.
YouTube,
yeah, I don't know if they put that. It was on YouTube. I don't know if you're hearing, or you could probably put in the chat also. One thing is kind of obvious is that maybe not too obvious is that the Salah itself, the way it's supposed to have an effect on a person, is that if somebody's praying five times a day and having a reminder of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, that means that there have to be an upright person, right? You can't be praying five times a day and then like cheating and stealing and you know, hurting other people, right? It doesn't really make too much sense, even though a lot of people fall into that, right? And but if you're someone who's on the Salah, like Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala says in the Quran, "Inna Salah tanfa fahsha wal munkar," right? It will, that indeed the prayer pushes away, you know, fahsha, like indecency and wrong, munkar, or any wrong and evil, if you will, because the prayer has that an emphasis on a person, has that effect on a person. So if somebody who has their Salah down, then that means that they're probably paying their zakat, they're probably fasting in Ramadan, they're probably treating people better, because they can't be treating someone, they say, okay, it's time for us, sir, let me go pray, right? So it has a big effect on it, right? And that's how the Salah is supposed to do. Even though we know that people who still pray five times a day might have, you know, bad character, might have wrongs and so forth, right? So here, number one is saying how the Salah has such effect on a person. And I make a big, you know, challenge to anybody, right? And a big guarantee that for everyone, just if those who are not able to pray five times a day and add that into your regular routine of your life, challenge yourself and you'll see how your life will change if you pray. If you have that time off for your prayer, how much calmness you have in your life, how your life will change. And this is the recipe from your Lord that created you. Right. Another thing is that we look here that from this hadith, the Prophet says that if his fard prayer is lacking, then go to his voluntary prayer. So here it doesn't mean that, oh, okay, if I don't pray fajr this morning, I'll just pray two rakat sunnah, you know, later on after dhuhr, and that will take up for my fajr. That doesn't mean that. That means you need to make up fajr. Okay, you need to make up your fard prayers. It's just that if you have holes in your obligatory prayer, then your voluntary prayer will kind of patch up that. Maybe not to the same extent, because they're not worth the same, right? Fard prayer and a sunnah prayer, we all know that they're rewarded differently. One's obligatory, one's voluntary, right? But here is that you'll see a lot of your voluntary prayers will help patch up those holes. Just like you have a hole in your roof, you patch it up. Is it the same as it was before? No, it's a patch. It might, you know, that it just does the job of stopping the water, but it's not like the real roof itself, right? So the same thing here is that we want to make sure that we do have our voluntary prayers as a backup, a nice insurance policy. So you have your fard prayers, you have your sunnah prayers after your fard prayers, which we all know, the sunnah before fajr, the sunnahs after dhuhr or before dhuhr, etc., maghrib, isha. And then you have your tarawih and so forth like that, right? So make sure that, you know, you don't belittle your voluntary prayers, because they're going to help us a lot on the Day of Judgment, inshallah ta'ala. And then look at the last statement the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. Then all his deeds will be reviewed in a like manner. Which means that if in terms of other things that are obligatory, let's say your Ramadan fasting, let's say your zakat, right? If you're missing anything in that, then maybe your regular sadaqah that you were donating, you know, not your zakat. Zakat's a special category, we all know, 2.5% of your wealth, and there's a lot more details in that. But let's say you gave someone some money at the side of the street, or it was a fundraiser for the masjid, you gave some money there, etc. Then that, you know, that voluntary charity will fill in the obligatory. Same thing for fasting and so forth. Fasting on Monday and Thursdays or whatever the case may be. Okay, I think this is it. Those that receive their book in the right hand. So how would other people have different type of reckoning? We'll go back to this in a bit. Is that one of the things that those, and there's another category, and I'll kind of pause here. I'll go over it later on. And that's the category of people that will have no account on the day of judgment, meaning that they will not be taken to account. They'll enter Jannah automatically. And that are seven, the Prophet said those are 70,000 people from his ummah that will go into Jannah without being asked a question because of their status. And you might ask yourself, how do I make it part of that 70,000 people, inshallah ta'ala? Right? And we'll go over that later on when we go over the descriptions of Jannah and Jahannam, and who those people are. And we'll also go over, did the Prophet actually mean exactly 70,000, or is it a bigger number, or if you will. But here, people will get their deeds in the right hand, and fortunately, some people will get their deeds on the left hand. But talk about reckoning, those who get their deeds on the right hand will have an easy reckoning. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْذُ بِلَيْهِ شَيْطَانُ الرَّجِيمُ فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُتِيَ كِتَابُهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسِبُهُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. That whoever is given the record, the book of deeds, the one that the angels are writing down for you, then he will be judged with an easy account, right? So you already have a good indication. If your book comes in your right hand, then inshallah ta'ala after that will be a lot easier. What type of other reckonings that will go on? The Prophet ﷺ talked about ostentation. What's ostentation? It's showing off, or showed off, those that showed off, okay? Basically, people did acts to impress other people, not solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very, very long hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first people to be called on the day of judgment, right, will be a man who memorized the Quran, a man who was killed in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a martyr, and a wealthy man. And then the Prophet sallam, in a very long hadith, and I didn't put it all here in this the screen because it's quite long. Then he goes over and says that the man that will memorize Quran will ask him, like, you know, why did you memorize Quran? I give you this gift to learn and memorize. What did you do with it? And he said that I prayed all night and I taught it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, nay, you did not do so. And the angels will confirm it and say, nay, you did not do so. You did it so people will say how beautiful your voice are, how learned you are. And that person will be dragged into Jahannam. And they talk about the man who was killed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I was martyred for your sake. I put my life out to promote your religion and to help the deen. But the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, you did it so that people will say that you are courageous, right? And you're so-and-so, etc. And so that person will be dragged into Jahannam. And the third person will be the one who's a wealthy man that donated for this cause and that cause and helped this and helped that. And they said, I give you wealth. What did you do with it? He said, I did all this for your cause. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, you did it. So people would say that you're such a generous person and you're such a great person. And that person will be dragged into Jahannam. So this really shows us, subhanAllah, it's all quite scary because these people, what's really scary about this is that the people are coming on the day of judgment thinking they did such a great job. Right, that alhamdulillah, I was at the masjid, I went to classes, you know, I donated money. And so they're showing up on the day of judgment like feeling good. Like, you know, this is, alhamdulillah, it's going to be a good day. But everything changes on them within, you know, matter of minutes. That they enter in Jahannam basically because of what? In their intention, 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 intention. So here we're showing the importance of intention. And this is a quite scary thing, and those who took the hadith class with me, the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, this was the verse hadith that we went over. Inna amalu bin niyat, indeed, actions are based on your intentions. And so here is that anything we do, and you know, especially those who, you know, memorize Quran, and I mean, a lot of us don't really lead the prayer, don't have to really worry about someone saying, oh, your voice is beautiful. You know, we're not really never in that case. But, you know, those who learn stuff from the Quran, you know, are we showing off with it? Or learn anything, right? Math or anything, whatever you do, right? And those who are killed in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, not everyone's not all of us are going to be a part of that category. But, you know, once again, it's just showing that, you know, wealth, just showing basically our actions. Are we really doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And wealth is a very one thing all of us can kind of apply to that. Maybe we're not super wealthy, but at least we donate. So what are we doing it for? You know, and we have to kind of be careful. Some people have said, you know, taxes are coming up. If I donate so much, I might get a break. Now, sometimes you see those ads actually in some Islamic organizations. You know, make sure you donate at the end of the year so you can help yourself on the next, on the taxes. And I was like, I don't know if they should be, I mean, it's probably true. You know, they could state that they donated, but you know where you want to put that as like your marketing material to people that donate to your cause. So, but you know, anyhow, that's more of a side product if you get some type of break because of your donation. But you know, we think about these type of things, inshallah ta'ala, when we help somebody. Why are we doing it so, right? And anything that we do. Questioning why we do the acts that we do. So here that, you know, that's going to be a big question of why we did certain things. Concealing the sins of people. So some people's reckoning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal it from the big screen in front of everybody. That, you know, that really helps people from not feeling embarrassed, being mocked, being embarrassed, being ashamed of what they did in front of other people. So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned a hadith in Bukhari that one of you will come close to his Lord till he will be sheltered. He'll shelter him with his screen. Allah SWT will shelter that person with their screen and say, did you commit such and such sin? The person will say, yeah, I did that. Then Allah will say, did you commit such and such sin? He said, yes. And so Allah will make him confess to all his sins. And he will say, I screen your sins for you in this world. Today I'll forgive them to you. So this is a great category of people. You're like, what do you mean a great category? These are people who are sin. Well, guess what? That's like 99% of us. Okay, so that's pretty much all of us, okay? Except prophets and other things, if you will, other people. So here is that Allah will screen them. And look what the person says. They don't argue with Allah. I said, yeah, I did say this to my spouse. Yeah, I did miss this prayer. Yeah, I didn't do this, etc. I mean, I had faults, Ya Rab, you know? So they're honest, they're truthful, right? Which is, you know, a lack of a characteristic on the Day of Judgment. People want to be disputing and making up lies and excuses, right? Well, look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that. I forgive you. Right? Forgive for what? What did he do? He sinned. But look what he did. He admitted to all his wrong. He admitted to what he did. This is a really big sign for us. And this happens also to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you guys remember that hadith when the woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, I committed adultery. So the Prophet ﷺ walked away. he didn't want to talk to her. And then, you know, tried to make sure he didn't hear that. And then she comes again and said, Ya Rasulullah, I committed adultery. Right? And finally the Prophet ﷺ said, like, you know, come back when you have the baby. You know what I mean? That's 9 months. That's a long time to remember to come back. And lo and behold, this lady, after 9 months, she comes and says, Ya Rasulullah, hey, look, here's the baby. Like, you know, execute the punishment upon me, what I did. And the Prophet said, like, wean the baby, you know, breastfeed the baby and then come back after that. Hopefully, once again, she forgets, hopefully something happens where they don't have to meet up again. And lo and behold, the woman comes back and says, Ya Rasulullah, I finished breastfeeding on the baby here. The baby is nice and healthy. You know, execute the punishment against me. So the Prophet had no other excuse what to say now, right? And says, okay, this is your judgment. And she admitted herself, right? Now, she's honest, kind of like here, this person admitting their sins. And so they end up stoning this lady and she ended up dying. That's the rule of adultery we know in Islam. And it needs 4 witnesses unless you confess against your own self. And then the people were like mocking the lady. Look how dirty this lady is. Look what she did. And the Prophet ﷺ stopped them and said, you're not even close to having the iman of this woman. She admitted to her wrong, and inshallah she'll be in her place and where? In Jannah, for what she did, in paradise, right? Because she made tawbah, she made repentance of that. So kind of make the same analogy here is that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it's not, well, why would you argue against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's a losing cause, you know what I mean? You know, once the judgment's on you, it's just, he knows the scrolls are there. But see, you admit it, and look what happens, Allah forgives. And that's why he's Rahman Rahim. Those who try to make excuses and lie, then those people don't deserve the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's something just to think about here. So when that day comes, if you could remember this lesson, even myself, but not to do that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness will be there, and that's what we're hoping for. Another thing, that a big lesson in this here is the importance of not sinning in public. So here, look what the Prophet says. So Allah will make him confess to his sins. And he'll say, I screened you from this world today, and I forgive you. I screened your sins for you in this world. Meaning that the person did sins in this world, but they were screened. What does screening mean? Screening mean, sorry? Cover, or they were hidden. Right? People didn't know, that guy did that, or that she does that stuff. I didn't know that. No, like, man, I thought she was this great person. I thought he was that great person, right? So what is the difference here? I put a question there for you all. What is the difference between sinning in public and sinning in private? It's still sinning.
You see, in public, you encourage other people to follow you.
Okay, good. Anyone else want to add anything? So Brother Johan said that sinning in public, Sister Lisa there, Sister Selena, sinning in public, you encourage other people. It's open. Okay. What else could we say about sinning in public? So if some people say someone's stealing, some people, you see someone yelling at their spouse and, you know, at Target, like, no shame. Everyone's like, wow, what the, you know, sheesh, so you guys go in the corner, or don't do that. You know, it doesn't look nice, right? Another thing is that, as Brother John said, like, you know, encourage other people. So it's like, hey, this guy did it. Yeah, I could do it to my spouse. You know, this person stole, I could steal also, right? Nobody's, you know, who cares? Second thing is that you have no shame when you do it in public. Right. To go and yell after your children, or discipline them in front of everybody, or yell at somebody, or steal, etc. At least you have the decency to do it when you're by yourself, right? Or if somebody looks at certain, you know, images online, they do it in their room. That's still a sin. It's still bad. I'm not encouraging this, but it's better than to do it in public and say, "Hey guys, look, come and watch this video. Look at what this here," and spread it around, right? If someone sins in you, you sin in your own public, right? And so, you know. And this is a concept that we talk about. We bring this up about the whole LGBT movement type thing. And, I'm going on a big tangent now a bit. But you know, it's one thing if, Muslims have a struggle with this, you know, same sex attraction. It's one thing Sorry, guys, there was a power down outage, and so I think you guys could still hear me. Do everyone hear me? Sister Selena, Sister Lisa?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Honda. Okay. Let's put the chats out of the way. Okay, sorry, let's just go this. All right. Let's see, yeah, maybe you can see, close the door. This is one. Who knows, it might start, yeah, really doesn't want to. All right. Oh, well, I didn't do anything. Yeah. Alrighty. So what we were saying, sorry, the points of doing, hold on, over here. So the points of like doing sin in the open, doing sins in the open and then doing things in private, right? So number one, we do things in, so yeah, I was on the LGBT thing, right? There you go. So what I was trying to say is that like those Muslims are suffering with same-sex attraction. The one thing is that if someone's struggling in private with it, but when people are vocal about it and they, you know, the pride and they're put it on their social media, you know, I'm happy, this is the way I am, etc. Of course, they do that because they truly believe it. Of course, that's where the disagreement is. Then that's the bigger sin than someone who is participating in the act in private. There's no sin if someone's just struggling with the thoughts. You know, if someone just feels like they are attracted to someone with the same sex, then that's something different. There's no sin there until you actually, you know, act on that, if you will. So, and I don't want to make the difference there because, you know, sometimes we have groups out there of Muslims or anyone, people that are very vocal about it and they're proud about it and they'll post about it and, you know, et cetera. That is where the difference is. You know, that is a bigger sin because they're actually promoting it. I want to feel that's encouraging other people and et cetera. And once again, for the difference of communities. Anyhow, kind of can I'll give that. So the difference between sinning in public and sinning in private. So those who do it in private, obviously someone has more modesty, more shame to not do it in public than doing it in private. So that's a level of, you know, iman if you think about it. All right. Rebuking people for not helping others. So this is something, it's a long hadith here. This is something that the Prophet mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question people on the day of judgment, those that did not help other people. So this is a hadith maybe some of us have heard before, where the Prophet mentions that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exalted the glorious, would say on the day of resurrection, O son of Adam, or human being, all of us, I was sick, but you did not visit me. And the person will say, Ya Allah, like, how can I visit thee whereas you're the Lord of the worlds? Right? And you don't get sick, obviously. Thereupon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, didn't you know that such and such servant of mine was sick, but you did not visit him? And were you not aware of this, and that you have, if you had visited him, you would have found me by him? Right? Not, obviously not physically, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in that person, but meaning that he is there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well acquainted of those who visit other people that are sick, and you would have found me. Their meaning, found that reward, found in me that in terms of what your action that you would have done if you would have visited that person that was sick. And then he goes, O son of Adam, if I ask you for food from you, but you did not feed me, he would say, my Lord, how can I feed the one who is the Lord of the worlds? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, didn't you know that such and such servant of mine asked for food, but you did not feed him? Were you not aware of that, that you would have fed him, you would have found me by your side. And they said, O son of Adam, I asked you for drink, but you did not provide me with drink. So, my Lord, how can I provide you with your Lord of the worlds? Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, such and such my servant of mine was thirsty, and you did not provide him with anything to drink, you would have found me near him. So you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will ask people about this, about their interaction with other people. Why didn't you help this other people first? And you knew that they were in need, did not have a ride to get to work, or they had struggling with their bills, and I gave you wealth. Why didn't you were able to help that person? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rebuke people for their the lack of interaction, lack of help of other people. So just something to think about, you know, when you, this is encouragement, when you know someone who's sick, know someone who's in food and water, is basically talking about that they don't have funds, right? In our world, right? Usually people have some type of food at home. That could be a, you know, there's some exceptions to that. Then, you know, if you go there, think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward will be there, right? That's the encouragement to help other people, and of course, be selfless to, you know, to give yourself and your time and your funds, et cetera, to other people. How wrongs will be settled between people on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, okay? So basically, we all know that people have issues in this world. This person did wrong to me, never said sorry, took this from me, never gave it back. I asked them for it, they said it's, you know, whatever. Arguments are always there, right? So how is that going to be dealt with on the Day of Judgment? It's a very, very strong hadith here. Sahih Bukhari and Riwayat al-Salihin. When the Prophet ﷺ says that whosoever has wronged his brother or their sister should ask for pardon now before that their death, as in the hereafter there will be no neither known to dinar or dirham. There's no dollars, there's no euros, there's no, hey, I'll bend you some money, I'll pay you off, right? You know, then we'll settle the deal. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, there's no money transactions there. He should secure his pardon in this world before some of his good deeds are taken and paid for his brother. Or if he had not done no good deeds, some of the bad deeds of his brother are taken and loaded onto him. So if a person on the Day of Judgment say, hey, you said this to me, it caused me trouble, you know, you did that in front of my family, you said this in the gathering, or you wronged me, right? You took this from me, never gave it back. Whatever the wrongs that people do, and you know, there's a plethora of them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, to compensate what you did to them, 100 hasanat will be taken out of, 100 good deeds will be taken out of your account and given to that person, right? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much good deeds are worth someone's wrong, right? Whatever that wrong is, okay? So there's no money that's going to be paid, we all know. But, and that's the last thing you'll want on the Day of Judgment, is your hard deeds. You came on Sunday, you attend a class, you know, alhamdulillah, you woke up, right? You performed Hajj, you fasted on Monday and Thursdays, you prayed Fajr, you put a lot of effort in, and the last thing you want to see is those Fajr deeds going on the account of a person and another person's account. And on top of that, it's not just any other person, the person you have issues with, this person that you know had hatred with on the world, or you had arguments with them, on the Day of Judgment, they're laughing, they're saying, oh, thank you for your 100 good deeds, your Fajr prayer, your Hajj, this, etc. And the last person you know you want your deeds to go to is the person that you have some kind of issues with, right? So look what the Prophet says in the very first statement. Whoever has wronged his brother should ask for pardon now. And one thing I encourage people, you know, if someone did something wrong to you, or you did something wrong to them, sorry, is just go ahead and settle that before Yawm al-Qiyamah. You're saying, why didn't I take care of that a long time ago? Now again, my good deeds taken away, and believe me, all of us will need every single good deed, the last, you know, smallest one on that day to get Allah's Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. So here, like I said, really take into account that I wrong with this person, that I say this, that I offended this person, that I insult them, right? This family member we haven't talked for so many years. No, it's not worth it. You know, I don't want to deal with this on the Day of Judgment. Let me call them and say I'm sorry, even though I know I don't think I did anything wrong. That's what everyone thinks, right? Maybe you shouldn't say that to the other person. But even if you think that you never said anything wrong or that person's at fault, hey, just, you know, we could lose our ego, we could lose our, put our ego to a side, we could put our pride to a side, and ask for forgiveness, inshallah ta'ala, and inshallah you'll see that Allah will raise you up for that. Those who pass owing money. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever dies owing a dinar or a dirham, okay, money, you know, gold and silver is a dinar and dirham, it will be paid back from his good deeds because there will be no dinar and dirham. Right? And so you see this a lot on the Prophet talks about debt. Of course, like I mentioned before, during the Prophet sometimes there's no banks, you can't go and get a loan, you can't ask for money from here and over there. You have to go to people and say, hey, can I borrow your horse? Can I borrow your food? Can I borrow your some gold coins so I can buy this? And it's up to you to bring that back or pay that back to that person. Okay? So that's why during the time of the Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of people that owed things to people, and they didn't really keep track of it, and the person passes away, and said, oh yeah, I forgot this, I forgot that. So you want to make sure you have that clean. It's not too much of an issue with us today, but sometimes people like to borrow stuff from people.
It would also account for, like, if you then own on a mortgage or on a credit card. I mean, that's the same, right?
Yeah. So Brother John's talking about credit cards and banks and mortgages. I actually looked this up. How it works in this country, but I think after you die, I don't know where your debt goes. Does it go on to your beneficiaries for mortgages? And I don't know if they. I think what I heard one time is that they just clear it. You can't go after the person anymore because of the debt. But that's why some people maybe carry so much debt because they know they'll get away with it at the end. But
they get away from it if they don't believe.
Of course. As a Muslim,
I think I'm not sure how it works.
Right.
Financial point of view, but for us as Muslim, I mean, believing in this, I mean, death is death, right?
Right. And even as a Muslim, if you had a mortgage, and it's halal mortgage. And, you know, you X amount of money you were left over. I think there's a condition in the state in the contract that the bank takes over the house. So they get repaid even though you die.
Oh, sure.
So like, you know, okay, well, you didn't pay, so we're going to take your house. So we're all fair square. They're not going to keep on waiting like, this guy's not paying me. Like, what's going on? We're going to get them into the day of judgment. I think Bank of America, Wells Fargo, they'll end up, you know, taking possession of your house. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know these types of real estate laws really well, but I think that would be the case. Mm-hmm. But of course, we should try to make some arrangements how to pay off these, whether credit card debt or anything that we have. Best thing is not to have debt. But then, those that punish others, right? And this is kind of good to kind of go over. SubhanAllah. You know, we might not be in a case of having servants and stuff like this, and we punish them. But we have spouses, we have children. But sometimes we punish them, or we say certain things, or take away certain things, because we're trying to, you know, teach or whatever the case may be. And sometimes we could be a little bit harsh in our judgment, especially to our family members. Sometimes to other people. So we want to kind of be careful for that. So here, there's a man that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sat in front of the Messenger of Allah and said, "O Messenger of Allah, I have two servants who lie to me, deceive me, disobey me. And I scold them and I hit them. So what is my case because of them on the day of judgment?" He's talking about. The Prophet ﷺ said, "The extent to which they betrayed you, disobeyed you, and lied to you will be measured against how much you punish them." So, you know, they said, okay, you told them to do this, they didn't do it, but you know, you hit them, you beat them, or you take away their you know, their housing or whatever the case, that's extreme. That shouldn't be the case, right? So if you punish them, your punishing them is equal to their sins, then the two will be the same. Nothing for you and nothing against you on the day of judgment. If your punishing them is above their sin, some of your rewards will be taken away from you and given to them. So look at the justice on the day of judgment. That you got away, you punish them too much for some little act that they did. So in Yawm al-Qiyamah, because of you being too harsh, your good deeds are going to go into their account. This is a servant. This is one that's supposed to take up stuff in, you know, the house of the person. So the man left and began weeping and crying out loud. I didn't realize what he did. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You should read what Allah said in His book." This is the verse of the Quran. "And we shall set up the balances of justice on the day of resurrection. Then none will be dealt with unjustly in anything." So the rest of the verse, and this is a verse in Surah Anbiya. So the man said, "By Allah, O Messenger of Allah, I see nothing better for myself than parting with them. Bear witness that I free them." That's the best thing, is to get them out of my account. So on the day of judgment, I don't have to worry about them, right? That I did this to them, I did that to them. Of course, that's a gift he gives them. That's a, you know, that's not a punishment. So inshallah, he'll get rewarded for getting his servants to go away free. So this is a big, this is a timely thing. Is that my battery is dying. Everything else is happening today, so might as well. Let me see. Yeah, I gotta get my charger. This is really, really relevant to what's happening in our country right now. I think a lot of us are quite aware of the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict that happened, what it was yesterday. You know, this guy was a kid, 17 years old, right? I think he's 18 years old now. Walking down in Minnesota, a lot of you guys know the story, AR, you know, semi-automatic, you know, almost like a machine gun rifle type thing. And, you know, kills, and they're killing two people and another person gets wounded. And of course, he left Chicago to go into Minnesota to protect people, as they say. And lo and behold, I think no one's surprised in this whole country that he gets away free and he walks away. And those two people that are now dead, the family members are grieving. They'll never get them back. The other person guy was shot, right? And there's no compensation at all. And now, you know, oh, that's, you know, that's how they were punished, right? That's how the guy punished them, by shooting them out of self-defense, and they get away clean in this world. But in Yom Kiyama, right? They'll say, and I think the judge should definitely be held accountable on the judgment also, that this is how you, you know, your punishment was, this is how you did this to other people. And these people will come back and say, you know, you did this to me. You know, what is the judgment for that, if you will? And so this is something where the best judgment, of course, in our country, I think, I made a reminder of the message on Tuesday night, talking that, you know, they say in this country, it doesn't matter if you did wrong or right, well, it depends how good your lawyers are. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. You know, you could get away with anything, as long as the lawyers could manipulate evidence and everything and make things look nice, and then at the end you're like, yeah, it was self-defense, and you walk away free. That has happened to...
I'm still a bit confused here, time-wise, all these different things. You said that this judge will be made accountable. I mean, if this judge is, as we know it, as far as I know, he's not Muslim, and I don't even believe in anything.
Nothing,
and
yeah.
He does not even get to that point. He's like already done. I mean,
well, so Brother Jordan saying that judge who's probably not Muslim is Kyle Rittenhouse, and he still has a chance to make Toba. But anyhow,
come to that kind of level.
So, would they even come here? And this, what this hadith is talking about, and some of the scholars argue this, that wouldn't even the non-Muslims be show their deeds, because they didn't believe in Allah in the first place? What's the point of going over there? So some scholars believe that they will just be ushered into Jahannam because of their disbelief. Another scholar said that no, everyone will be judged, even the atheist, even the one that cursed Allah, just because ultimate justice will be shown on that day. So someone can't say, hey, like, let me give you a fair trial. Why are you throwing me in jail for? Jail meaning Jahannam. Like, let me, like, I could argue these things, right? So just out of the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a lot of verses that indicate this. The non-believers will be asked about this, asked about that. So there's tons of proof for this in the Quran and Hadith. That even these people who are cursed Allah, their book will be opened, right? Even though they get it on their left hand, which we'll see later on. And but they'll still go one by one. So there's no argument on the Day of Judgment for them against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will say, look what you did, this, etc. And they'll be shamed, and there's a lot of verses that talk about how they will look and so forth. So I think that, they will get to this level. They definitely will get to this level. And they will definitely be asked about that. Let me pause really quick. Let me grab my charger. It's in the car. Let me hear that. I think it's in the car. 1 second there.
That's interesting, that different opinion. I thought if you're not even lying to Hailah, but I mean, you're even going to all these persons that you're already in the time
learning. Yeah. I guess, like, yeah, it makes sense to go through anyone's thing just because it's, even in this country, that's what they do, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it'll be interesting to witness them.
Yeah, on the thing, I mean, that it's interesting.
Yeah. My microphone off.
And there was a little side story. Had a program one time, and the speaker was speaking, and they left the microphone on his head, and then ended up going to the bathroom, and so everything was being.
Oh, yeah.
So when I left, I was like, "Oh, the microphone's still on." So, but alhamdulillah, I'm just going to like my car.
Yeah.
But anyhow, So yes, so and that's a good lesson for us. And sometimes, you know, we might make judgments in the way that we discipline our people in our household or family members, etc. And if it's too harsh, then you know, that's something we need to really think about. Like I said, on the Yom Teyama, justice is like true justice, right, as we could ever think about, which is not seen in this world. But Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, very very clear. That's my last slide here. We'll go to my notes after this. People receiving their books. We kind of alluded to this already. So people on that day of reckoning will get their books. Now, a lot of scholars said that when will people get their books? And they said after the reckoning, after the hisab is taking place. So what does that mean? So when someone goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, yes, I did this right, yes, I didn't do this, and I sinned here, well, this guy pushed me and this guy stole from me. After all that reckoning, we call that reckoning, hisab, then after their book will be given to them. Okay. And then on the right hand or the left. Because why will it be given to their book afterwards? And this is where the scholars kind of debate. This is his opinion. Is that the reckoning has to happen first to clear up all the book. To see what was the sin, wasn't, you know, the arguments. So when you get the book, it's sealed. Right? You already went over all the sins and all the good deeds and who did this to you. So that book is now, there's no more arguing now. Now you will get it in your right or you'll get it in your left hand. And sort of haqqa, another place in the Quran, talk about the receiving the book. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as those will be given their record, their book, in the right hand, he'll say, here, ikra kitabiyah, read my book. The person's so happy that they start bragging, like, everyone, look at the, read my book. Look, alhamdulillah, I did good deeds. And they should brag. I mean, everyone, not bragging, but they should be elated and joyous. I mean, all of us will be going, if we get our book right, it's one big sign of, you know, a good account. And he'll have a pleasant life, and the verse goes on, and he'll have everything he wants in Jannah. But as for those who are given their book in their left hand, this is what I say, they'll also be given behind them, right? They'll say, oh, I wish I had never been given my account. I wish I would never even got this book today. Had I not known what is in my account, had I not known what's in my account. So basically, they're contemplating, like, why, how would I get this book? I don't want to see this book. This reminds me of all that I did wrong. Of course, they have to pay their judgment for what they did. So people will receive their book after the reckoning, and then they'll go ahead and inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them on their book. Now that goes into the next part. We're talking about the scale. Is their book put on the scale? What is it actually going to do with that book afterwards, if you will? So I'm going to stop my sharing here. I'm going to go to my notes. You're going to probably end up seeing my notes. Yeah, I'm just going to put this off the screen here. So we're gonna just go continue here. So there's a couple things here that I wanted to continue out, and let me get my notes here. Why are people giving their books, settling the score arguments? Yeah, this is actually what I want to go back to the Kyle Rittenhouse case, and so much of the cases of these the Zimmerman case that killed that boy. What's his name?
Trayvon Martin.
And, you guys probably seen these memes or these other GIFs that are floating around social media. Well, Trayvon Martin, you know, had a toy gun, I think, in his hand.
No,
nothing. Right. I think he just had a hoodie on it.
There was Kamal Rice in.
There's so many of these cases. It's so sad to even think about them.
The hoodie toy is around 20.
Yeah, so one had a toy, one had a toy, one had nothing, and, you know, the Zimmerman person ends up killing him, and, you know, he goes away scot-free, and this person actually walks around with a gun and kills people, and he goes scot-free, and one, of course, one's black, one's white. So there's a hadith here in Nasa'i, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions here, he said, a man will come holding another man's hand on the day of judgment. Remember, we're talking about hisab, reckoning, right? So people are going to be arguing with people. So a person will come holding this other person, and they will say, Ya Rab, Allah, this man killed me. In this world, this man killed me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, why did you kill him? Verse say, I killed him so that the glory be for you. So it's talking about maybe like a martyr or something like that, right? I killed him so that, you know, so you, I did it for the sake of, say, for your sake. He will say, it is to me, then another man will come holding another man. So he will say, yes, that's right. You killed him for my sake. You're right. Another person will come holding another person by the hand. And he said that, Ya Allah, this person killed me. And then Allah will say, why did you kill him for? He'll say, so that the glory be to be for you and so-and-so. He'll say, it is not for me and wasn't for so-and-so. And the burden of sin will be upon him. So the Prophet gives you two instances. One is a justified murder, or killing, whatever you want to call it. Another one is one that obviously wasn't the case at all. And I was just thinking of reading this hadith, especially what's going on with this week, that these other persons that were killed, and they weren't even Muslim. Joseph was the one that got shot. I forgot the other two people that were killed. I forgot their names, right? That they will come holding, Kyle Rittenhouse's hand and say, this person killed me, right? And then he will say what? Well, he said on the stand, right? Self-defense. I walk around with a rifle. Normal self-defense is a normal thing you do in America, right? And, Allah will basically say, will basically judge them. And that justice, not this judge who looked like a clown. I don't know if you saw some stuff that this guy was talking. He was singing during the court case at one time and talking about Chinese food or something. I don't know. Oh, my God. He was, Comedy Central. I forgot the time they did. Trevor Noah?
Noah.
Yeah, he did some good. SubhanAllah, this guy, there's a murder trial going on here. It's almost like a joke, but SubhanAllah, And so, this is the true justice. So when I read this hadith, this kind of makes me feel a lot better. And this is why we, as Muslims, that makes us feel better. One thing we're talking about, Kyle Rittenhouse, but think about, Palestine. People are just walking and get shot, and there's no justice. Forget about a court case. Just bury them. There's no one's going to ask anything. It's not even, there's no one to even complain to. And we have tons of that. Afghanistan, Iraq, people get bombed because they're, trying to get Saddam Hussein or whatever, and people are just sitting in their house and they get killed, and nobody would ever ask anything, and nothing at all. SubhanAllah, about to go on over that. So it's good, alhamdulillah, that people will be holding. Imagine how many death and murder there are in this world that was wrongly done. How many people are going to be dragging people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, this person killed me, this person killed me. One thing is it gives us, makes us feel good that yes, alhamdulillah, the justice will be done. Whether it's Muslims or non-Muslims, we care about justice. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the ultimate judge and the true judge on that day. And then there's another hadith, it's in Bukhari, where the Prophet said, the first thing concerning which judgment will be passed among the people will be bloodshed, murder. Where earlier we talked about the person that was asked about a person will be their salat. And that's true. Here it's talking about the first thing that'll be asked in terms of interaction with people, right? Interaction, people, conflict will be up. They'll take their murder cases first. Theft and, other things will come later on. The murder case, and you think that's obviously the highest thing that someone could do to somebody, take someone's life. That's the first judgment amongst clashes between people. Individually, salah will be the first thing that Allah will ask their people about what they have done. Next one we'll go over is the scale on the mizan that will be on now. So alhamdulillah, we talked about the reckoning, we talked about the book a little bit, where people get their books, and we're talking about the scale now that's going to be set up. Now what's that scale for? What's going to be weighed and so forth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the scale in a lot of verses in the Quran, Surah Anbiya, actually might be worth actually putting down really something that is something to be hitting, I guess. And I'll just share this on for those at home. But the verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah وَنَرْعُ الْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we will put the scale of justice. And actually, if you look in Arabic, the word scales here is actually plural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we put the scales of justice on the day of resurrection. No soul will be treated unjustly at all. Now, if there were even a weight of a mustard seed, we're not really familiar with mustard seeds, basically a very, very small thing of mustard seed, think about Adam, we will bring it forth, and sufficient are we of accountants. that everything will be on that scale. So some scholars said that it'll be one scale or many, like they differed between it. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says muwazin, right? And so here is it's why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say scale for? So some scholars thought that it will be, we thought that each person will have their own scale. It'll be for that individual person. Some people said the scale will be for every single deed. So Hajj, Salah will have one, etc. But the majority of opinion is that there's one scale, but why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say multiple scales for? Why do you make it plural? Is that because it's talking about that the amount of people that are going to get weighed. So that it's almost as, you know, there's a bunch of weighing that's actually happening, but there's actually one scale that's for everybody. Okay. And then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Mu'minun and other places that we all know, that those whose scales are heavy with good deeds, it is those who are successful. Okay. So here's a question here that we know from another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he says that no one enters Jannah by the means of their deeds, but by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we have this verse here, that those scales that are heavy with good deeds, they'll be successful, they'll go to Jannah. So we know that if it's not the deeds that actually, the weighing of the deeds, the more good deeds, yani, you go to Jannah. But from the hadith we're talking about, it's from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This goes kind of a little bit to the Christian argument, where they said that it doesn't matter what you do, you can never do as much good deeds as the sins you have. And then that's one argument. And other people say, well, they're not much, so much not good. You can't do enough good deeds to the amount of what God is worth. So it doesn't matter if you do good all your life. It'll never be amount to what you should be doing to God. That's why you have to believe in Jesus. He died for your sins, blah, 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 etc. Okay? So here is that. We say that, how do we understand the two? Well, the way that we answer this is that those two people's scales are heavy with good deeds, they will earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So yes, it's still the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at the end is entering people into Jannah, but the deeds is what earns it. Right? If somebody says, the teacher says, you know, you have a lot of bad grades, but you come to office hours, you sit in the front of the class, you do all your homework, right? So you have a lot of good efforts. You're just not the smartest person in the class, right? You don't get the best grades. But you study, you work hard, you put a lot of effort, we got a lot of heavy good deeds. I will pass you on to the next class, right? I'll pass you on the class, if you will. So maybe not exactly an analogy, but here it is that we earn Allah's rahmah from showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I deserve your rahmah, ya Rabb. Right, trying to deserve your rahmah from praying and making hajj and trying to do good to other people, etc. Okay, so that's how I understand that. What will be weighed? Scale mentioned in the hadith. What will be weighed on the day of judgment? We'll just skip here. So here, there's a lot of things that the scholars said. Number one, they said that. The scroll or your book of deeds will be placed onto the scale itself. There's a long hadith here where the Prophet says, indeed Allah would distinguish a man from my ummah before all of creation on the day of judgment. 99 scrolls will be laid out for him. 99 scrolls of bad deeds. Each one of them, as I can see, the paper goes all the way down. Just sins of what this person did. Okay? He said, do you deny any of this? Those who have recorded the wrong for you, he'll say, no, Lord. Remember the previous hadith? The person admits to the wrong. He said, no, I did all those. I did it. I'm ashamed of it. I did it. He said, do you have any excuse? He'll say, no, Ya Rabbi, I'm not going to argue with you. I have more respect. No. He'll say, rather you have a good deed with us. You have one. So you shall not be wrong today. He'll bring out a card, bifafa, card that will say, I testify la ilaha illallah. And there's no, and I testify that Muhammad is a servant, the messenger of Allah. And then you say, bring your scales. So here, I say, bring your scales. So that's why some scholars said everyone have their own scale. And you say, oh Lord, what good is in my card? He doesn't even know. Next to all these good, these scrolls. He'll say, you should not be wrong. He said, the scrolls will be put on a pan. The scale has two pans, right? And the card be put on the other pan, and the scrolls will be light, and the card will be so heavy, nothing is heavier than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're saying here that your scrolls, your good deeds and bad deeds, are actually the ones that we wait here. Okay, and so all his sins are on one end, and all his paper that says he did this, etc., is going to be on one, another end, and that's actually weighs heavier than all his sins. Not quite by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So what would be weighed? Some people said the actual deed in the physical form. So your salah will come in some type of shape, and it will be put on there, right? Hajj will come in a shape. Your good deeds that you cared for your mother, you cared for your father, will come in a physical shape. Some people said that people themselves will be put on the scale, right? You might say that, you know, I actually eat a lot of food in this world. Well, that won't work, okay? This is bad. No, that's not good for your health and not good for your day of judgment either. Look here, the Prophet ﷺ talked about it. He said, a fat man, a big man will be brought on the day of judgment, but you have no weight more than before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the mosquito's wing. There are a lot of mosquitoes in the room, so there you go. You guys can relate to that, right? And then he recited, on the day of judgment, we shall assign no weight for them. Versus sort of cat, right? So here is that, it talks about that person will have no weight. That when they put on the scale, they'll have nothing. And there was also the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, a famous companion of the Prophet, where the Messenger of Allah said, why are you laughing? He had very small legs. And so there was one incident, he was climbing a tree, and the Sahaba, his thobe went up, and they saw his legs and started laughing. Look at the puny little legs he has. So the Prophet says, why are you laughing at him? They said, oh, Prophet Allah, they're laughing at his calves. Look at those little thin calves he has. The Prophet said, by the one whose hand is my soul, they will have more heavier than Uhud on the balance. Mount of Uhud, obviously, it's a mountain. Right, then those legs will be so heavier on the balance. So once again, there's a indication that people on what on the scale itself. Okay, but the majority of opinion is that the scrolls of your deeds. The majority of opinion is number one that your actual deeds will be put on the form, on the physical form, and the scrolls of the deeds are opinion of this also. And I think this is the same one. Is it? That we said earlier. The same one, the La ilaha illallah, right? So, but anyhow, so people, the way they answer this is saying that this, talking about the fat man and talking about Ibn Mas'ud's legs, is more just talking about how great a person he was. And obviously mocking the people, not telling the people not to mock him, right? And then the scrolls and the deeds, obviously that this might be the case for this person, but not the case for everyone. So they said, you know, on some scholars said all three would be the case. People will be weighed, their books will be weighed, and their deeds will be weighed. So they try to combine all three opinions, if you will. What is the heaviest thing? This is the last thing. Okay, I guess I didn't have too much. What is the heaviest things on the scales of on the Day of Judgment? This comes from a hadith, and I think I quote this a lot to myself, where the Prophet said the heaviest thing on Yawm al-Qiyamah on the scales is Husn al-Khuluq, is good character. Okay, it's good character. And there's another, and we all know, like, you know, like I said, yeah, we thought, oh, I thought Salah is going to be the heaviest thing. I thought my Hajj is going to be the heaviest thing. That's true. But if somebody who has honor is a good character, inshallah, the Salah will be good. Inshallah, their Hajj will be good. So it really tells you about, you know, about our character, our mannerism. And character and mannerism is all done by how? Interaction with people. Nobody says, I'm polite. Well, how are you polite? I'm just a polite person. You have someone to testify about that. Like, do you hold the door open for other people? Do you care for other people? How are you polite? So mannerism and character is all manifested with interaction with your parents, with your spouse, with your children, people in the community. They say, oh, he's a cheerful person. He's a polite person. He's a respectable person, right? So character is about how we interact with people. And then our dhikr is something that will be heavy on the scales on the Day of Judgment. And I think I have a hadith here. Let me see if I can find it. Right here. So this one right here. In Hadith Bukhari. Where the Prophet says that kalimatani khafifatani or faqilatani fi mizani faqifatani ala lisani subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. The Prophet said in a very beautiful hadith that rhymes very well. They said two words that are light on the tongue, heavy on the scales. Oh, I forgot, Habibatani, and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is saying, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. So if just making this dhikr, this remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here is going to be heavy on the scales. And there's other hadith that kind of indicate that different type of dhikrs, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is heavy on the scales. There's another hadith of the Prophet says, Alhamdulillah fills the scales. Right? And there's a hadith in, we took from the 40 hadith in Imam Nawawi that we went over that also. So this is something that, you know, all of us could say. I would tell people, just say this, and when you're driving, you're waiting in line at the grocery store, whatever you can, you add computer, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah means Allah is free from any deficiency, and with His praise, Allah is free from any deficiency, the great. Allah has no deficiency, He's perfect in nature, and with His praise that we praise Him, once again, and He is the great one. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Good to, inshallah, remember that small dhikr. As the Prophet said, once again, two words that are light on the tongue, easy to say, heavy on the balance, and the love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, alhamdulillah, for the first time, I think we almost went to 12 o'clock with all my classes, a month or so. Well, we have some delays, so that kind of helped us. Anyhow, so alhamdulillah, so here we have mentioned a lot of questions about scales, what's going to be on the scale. And there's no really reference of how the scales will look, you know, rubies on it or this or that. I don't think it really matters, honestly, if we go over that. But we know that there will be a scale, and our deeds will be weighed, and how are, you know, coming in physical form and so forth. And so, alhamdulillah, so we went over a lot of things today. And so after that, we're going to go over next thing will be, so we'll take off next week, since it's kind of the holiday season, and, you know, alhamdulillah, give you guys some time with your family, etc. And then we'll continue 2 weeks after this, and we'll go over, we'll start going over, which we didn't cover yet, is the sirat, the bridge. And that's like the last thing to go over before we start just talking about Jannah and Jahannam. And so we'll talk about the description. We'll go to Jahannam first. We'll save Jannah for the last. I think it's always good to end on Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. So, we'll continue from there as well. Questions or comments before we go? More online, one person here. A lot of cats here. You know, anyone? If not, we'll make dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ya rahman ya rahim, anta salam wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhul jalal al-ikram. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ahlihi wa azwajihi wa dhuriyatihi, ila yawm al-din ya kareem rabbil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our praise and glorifications to you. We ask you for your rahman, your mercy on the day of judgment, ya rahman ya rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to make us of those 70,000 that go and enter Jannah without any reckoning, ya rahman ya rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to make our scale of hasanat heavier than our scale of sayyat and sins on the day of judgment, ya rahman ya rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us for our wrongdoings. Bless our families, bless our parents, bless our community, bless our brothers and sisters throughout the world that are suffering. Protect them and feed them. Ya kareem ya rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. May Allah bless all of you, inshallah. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.